All right, we are now right at 10 a.m. We are now on the record. Good morning, I'm Susan Drummond, Benton County Hearing Examiner. It's Friday morning, 10 o'clock, May 17, 2024. We have a fairly full agenda today, so I'm going to address the extension first. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and do that right away. It looks like there's a reasonable basis for the extension. The applicant, we're only about a year out, 2023-004 is the permit number. And they're just waiting on the health district for an extension. Is that all correct? Does staff have any concerns with the extension?
Correct, and no problems.
Okay, the six-month extension is granted, and I'll get a decision out on that. So with regard to the remainder of, that was the consent agenda. With regard to the remainder of the agenda, we have four accessory dwelling unit proposals, two variances, and then also a conditional use permit request for a church. So I'm going to address the four accessory dwelling unit proposals first, then the two variances, and then lastly the church. The ADUs and the variances shouldn't take very long, so that's the reason for doing those first, so those who are here for those don't have to stay for the rest of the hearing. There are probably more people here for the church conditional use permit, I would imagine. So. In terms of the order of procedure, the planning department will present first on each of the proposals. After the department presents, then the applicant for each proposal will have an opportunity to present, and then we'll open the proceeding for public comment. Anyone who is present who would like to comment on the proposal or who is online may comment on their proposal. And then the applicant will have an opportunity to address any questions which arise, and I may have questions. So this proceeding is both live and remote. If there are any technical issues with the remote piece of this, we will halt the proceeding and sort those. Usually we're pretty lucky. So, and if there are technical issues, then I can keep the record open as need be to address that. So this is a quasi-judicial proceeding. That just means it's somewhat formal. So when you testify, I will swear you in, and then I formally admit exhibits. Also, I cannot have any conflicts of interest, which would prevent me from rendering a fair and impartial decision. I am not aware of any with any of the proposals that are before me, but if there are any concerns, now is the time to raise those. In terms of the criteria that I review for each of these proposals, they are detailed in each of the staff reports, but on the conditional use permits and an ADU, accessory dwelling unit does require a CUP. Essentially, I look at compatibility with surrounding land uses, avoidance of material detriment, is there adequate infrastructure, and then the accessory dwelling units have criteria that are specific to that particular use. Those same conditional use permit criteria also apply to, say, for example, the church proposal. And then the flood variant, there's two types of variances before me today. One's a flood variance that has very specific criteria and a fair amount, but it's to protect human life and property, essentially, is what those are designed at, and there's more detail in the staff report on that. And then the with regard to the zoning variance, I look at essentially that there are unique circumstances that warrant the variance, and they're a set of, I believe, seven independent criteria that I look to assess that to ensure that there's no grant of special privilege. Okay, I think that's it for my introductory remarks. Are there any procedural questions from anyone before we get started? Okay, all right, we will go ahead and get started, I think, with the first accessory dwelling unit proposal. That would be CUP 2024-007. This is proposed by Ronald Duncan. Who from the staff is presenting on this?
That would be me.
Okay. If you could state your name for the record.
Andrea Watts.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed. Actually, let me just, so on this one, I have received the staff memo and exhibits, which include the staff memo, HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.13, and those are all admitted.
So the Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-007 on March 15th, 2024. The owner applicant, Ron Duncan, is proposing to construct a detached accessory dwelling unit within the Rural Lands 5-acre zoning district. The proposed 798 square foot ADU would be located east of an existing 3,326 square foot single family dwelling, located on a 1.58-acre property in the Benton City area of unincorporated Benton County. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. During the agency review period, the Planning Division received the following comments. The Benton County Fire Marshal requires that the proposal comply with Benton County requirements for fire apparatus access. The Benton County Rural Water Supply Program requires the applicant to apply for and obtain a mitigation certificate. With that, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 23 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Watts. Is the applicant present?
He is online.
Okay. Mr. Duncan, is there anything that you would like to add to your proposal?
No, ma'am.
Nope. Okay. All right. Is there anyone present either online or in the hearing room who would like to comment on this proposal? Not hearing or seeing anyone, is that correct? All right.
No one online.
Let the record reflect that no one has indicated a wish to comment on this proposal. So I have reviewed the staff report and the attached exhibits, and they do document consistency with the criteria, which are specific to accessory dwelling units, as well as the conditional use permit criteria, which require compatibility, avoidance of material detriment, and so forth. As I summarized earlier, I do believe that both sets of criteria are met and the ADU should be approved. So I will be approving this ADU conditional use permit. A decision on that will be out within 10 business days, although probably earlier than that. And then I will be emailing it to the planning department. That will then be forwarded to the applicant and anyone else who requests a copy. Any procedural questions on that before we continue to the next agenda item? Nope. Okay. Mr. Duncan, you may stay online if you wish, but no need to do so as we've concluded this particular matter.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. And Ms. Watts, are you also addressing CUP 2024-008? This is a proposal from Mr. Matthew Waddell.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. You remained under oath. And I also should say, I have received the staff memo as well as the exhibits. Those are numbered HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.12, and all of those are admitted.
Right. So the Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-008 on March 18th, 2024. The owner applicant, Matthew Waddell, is proposing to construct a detached accessory dwelling unit within the Rural Lands 1-acre zoning district. The project is located on a 0.92-acre parcel in the West Richland area of unincorporated Benton County. The ADU is proposed to be 614 square feet in size and located within a proposed 3,760 square foot accessory building to the south of the existing 1,536 square foot primary single family dwelling on site. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. During the agency review period, the Planning Division received the following comments. The Benton County Fire Marshal requires the proposal to comply with Benton County requirements for fire apparatus access. The Benton County Building Division requires the proposed structure to comply with all current Benton County building and fire codes. And the Benton County Rural Water Supply Program requires the applicant to apply for and obtain a mitigation certificate. With that, the Planning Division is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 23 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Watts. Is the applicant in the hearing room or online?
I don't think so. Not online.
Okay. All right. Well, I did not have questions for the applicant, so that's fine. Is there anyone either in the hearing room or online who would like to comment on this proposal?
No one online.
Let the record reflect there is no one present who would like to comment on this proposal. So as with the earlier ADU, I've reviewed the staff report and attached exhibits, and consistency with both the ADU specific criteria as well as the CUP criteria have been documented. So I will be approving this conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit, and the decision will be emailed to the planning department within 10 business days and forwarded to the applicant and anyone else who requests a copy. So we will now move, I think, to the third accessory dwelling unit proposal. This is CUP 2024-009, proposed by Jay Swope and Christopher Smith. And Ms. Watts, are you also presenting on this?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And you can state your name for the record.
Elizabeth Kerner.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. So I have reviewed the staff memo and attached exhibits HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.13. Those exhibits are all admitted. You may proceed when you are ready.
The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-009 on March 22nd, 2024. The applicant, the owner slash applicants, Christopher Smith and Jay Swope, are proposing to construct an 800 square foot accessory dwelling unit. The property is approximately 2.5 acres in size and is located in the Rural Lands 5-acre district off of DeMoss Road in the Benton City area of unincorporated Benton County. The ADU will be accessory to an existing 5,229 square foot single family dwelling. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. The following comments of note were received during agency review. The Benton County Rural Water Supply Coordinator noted that the parcel falls within the rural water mitigation area and the applicants will need to apply for and obtain a mitigation certificate. The Benton PUD wanted to ensure that the applicants contacted them if the project falls within 220 feet of the existing overhead power lines located on the north side of the property. The Benton County Building Division commented that the proposed dwelling unit must comply with all current Benton County building and fire codes, and the Benton County Fire Marshal advised that the proposed dwelling unit must meet all requirements for fire apparatus access. In summary, the planning staff is recommending approval of this application subject to the suggested 24 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Kerner. Is the applicant present in the hearing room or online? Was there anything that you wanted to add to the staff summary of your proposal? Okay, all right. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on this proposal either online or in the hearing room? Nope.
No one online.
Okay, let the record reflect there is no one who wished to comment on this proposal. As with the earlier ADUs, I do believe that this proposal is consistent with the ADU specific criteria as well as the conditional use permit criteria. So I will be approving this proposal. And as with the others, decision will be out within 10 business days, will be emailed to the planning department and then forwarded to the applicant and anyone else who requests a copy. Any procedural questions? Okay. And you're welcome to remain in the hearing room, but we are we've completed our discussion of this agenda item. All right, I think this is our fourth and last ADU proposal, CUP 2024-010, proposed by Eric and Kimberly Drury. You reigned under oath, Ms. Kerner. You may proceed when, I have reviewed the staff memo, HEM 1.1, and then the exhibits, which are numbered, including staff memo, HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.12. Those are all admitted. You may proceed when you're ready.
The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-010 on April 11th, 2024. The owner slash applicants, Eric and Kim Drury, are proposing to construct an 800 square foot accessory dwelling unit. The property is located, is approximately 1.06 acres in size and is located in the Rural Lands 1-acre district off of Calico Road in the Kennewick area of unincorporated Benton County. The ADU will be accessory to an existing 2,476 square foot single family dwelling. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. The following comments of note were received during agency review. The Benton Franklin Health District noted that the applicant's existing sewage system evaluation is valid until August 28, 2024. The Benton PUD wanted to ensure that the applicants contacted them to provide connected load calculations for the new accessory dwelling unit and associated shop building. And the Benton County Building Division commented that the proposed dwelling unit must comply with all current Benton County building and fire codes. In summary, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 24 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Kerner. Is the applicant present either in the hearing room or, yes, was there anything you wished to add to the proposal?
No.
Okay, all right. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on the proposal either in the hearing room or online?
No one online.
Okay, let the record reflect that there was no one who wished to comment on the proposal. So as with the other ADUs, I have reviewed the staff memo and exhibits and they did demonstrate there is consistency with the ADU criteria as well as the conditional use permit criteria. So I will be approving this request for CUP. That decision will be out within 10 business days, emailed to the planning department and then forwarded to the the applicant, you, and anyone else who requests a copy. Any procedural questions before we move on? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for attending, and you're welcome to stay, but no need to do so.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So that concludes the hearing with respect to the four accessory dwelling units. We're now moving to the variances. The first variance that we'll review is VAR 2024-001. This is proposed by Scott and Jessica Myers. Ms. Kerner will be presenting on that. I did review the staff memo, HEM 1.1, as well as the attached exhibits, HEM 1.2 to 1.10. Those are all admitted. And Ms. Kerner, you may proceed when you're ready.
The Planning Division received the application for variance 2024-001 on March 14th, 2024. The applicants, Quality Structures 1, for the owner Scott and Jessica Myers, are requesting construct a 1,440 square foot accessory building to meet Benton County wet flood proof standards. The property is approximately 1.08 acres in size and is located in the Rowlands 5-acre district off of North Peterson Road in the West Richland area of unincorporated Benton County. The structure is located within the A8 flood zone, otherwise known as the 100-year flood zone. The applicant is requesting this variance in order to avoid placing approximately 600 cubic yards of fill on site in order to bring the structure to the required elevation. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. The following comments of note were received during agency review. The Benton County Building Division commented that the proposed structure must comply with all current Benton County building, fire, and flood codes. All flood requirements must be indicated on the construction plans when submitted for review. In summary, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 15 findings of fact and 3 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Kerner. Is the applicant present? Yes. Was there anything that you would like to add to the proposal? Okay.
Well, I'm largely here to answer your questions.
Oh, okay. Just one quick question, actually. If you could step up to the podium just so we can capture that. Good morning. If you could just state your name for the record.
Scott Myers.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. It sounds like, so this is for an accessory building, the 1,440 square foot.
Correct,
accessory,
yes.
Building. Okay. And then this avoids the placement of that fill, if you can.
Yeah, well, we've come to call it Myers Mountain because it would be quite the wart on the property if we had to do that.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify. Oh, and then what is the accessory building is for? What's the intended use of it?
Oh, it's a pole barn just used as a shop and storage, that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Those were the only
questions. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone present in the hearing room or online who wishes to comment on this proposal? Let the record reflect that there is no one who wished to comment on this proposal. So I have reviewed the criteria for the, well, of course, for the variance, but also the exhibits and the staff report. And I do believe that consistency with the variance criteria has been documented. So, and this is the type of structure that this type of variance, the type of situation this type of variance is appropriate for. So I will be approving the variance. A decision on this will be out within 10 business days, and we'll go to the planning department and then be forwarded to the applicant. And anyone else who requests a copy. Do you have any procedural questions?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for attending this morning. You're certainly welcome to stay for the next few matters, but no need to do so.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Our last variance, this is VAR 2024-002, a proposal from Evan and Kathy Mellenbacher. And who's presenting? Ms. Watts. HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.12, that's the staff memo and attached exhibits. I've reviewed those and those are admitted. And Ms. Watts, you may proceed when you're ready.
The Planning Division received the application for VAR 2024-002 on March 20th, 2024. The owner applicants, Evan and Kathy Mellenbacher, are proposing to construct a 324 square foot addition to an existing single family dwelling on the proposed, and the proposed variance would allow the addition to encroach 10 feet into the 25-foot setback from a private access easement. The project is located on a 1.06-acre parcel in the Richland area of unincorporated Benton County. the location, orientation, and layout of the existing house in combination with the proximity of the private access easement, utility infrastructure, and the location of the existing septic system, and limit the suitable locations to construct the addition. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. During the agency review period, the Planning Division received the following agency comments. The Benton County Building Division requires that the proposed structure comply with all current Benton County building and fire codes. With that, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 9 findings of fact and 3 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Watts. Is the applicant present or here in the hearing room or online?
Online.
Okay.
Online.
Ms. Kathy Millenbacher?
This is Evan Millenbacher.
Oh, okay. Good morning. Was there anything that you wish to add to the staff summary of your proposal?
No, I don't think so.
All right, just one quick question for you. Mr. Millenbacher, if you could state your name for the record.
Evan Millenbacher.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just one quick question. The addition looks like it's 324 square feet. So it's it looks like it's the minimum necessary to accomplish your objectives here. Would that be a correct understanding?
Yes, that is a fine size.
Okay. All right. I did not have any other questions. The staff report and exhibits were quite thorough on this. Thank you. And is there anyone online or in the hearing room who would like to comment on this proposal?
No one online.
Okay, let the record reflect there's no one present who would like to comment on this proposal. So I have reviewed the criteria and the exhibits and staff memo, and I do believe that consistency with the variance criteria, which are fairly detailed, I said 7 earlier, it's actually 8 criteria. I do believe consistency has been documented, so I will be approving this variance. Decision will be out within 10 business days and forwarded to the planning department and then forwarded on to the applicant. Are there any procedural questions on this proposal? No. Okay. All right. So thank you. Mr. Millenbacher, you're welcome to stay for the last agenda item, but no need to do so as we've completed review of your proposal. All right, so we'll now move to the final item on the agenda. This is CUP 2024-003. This is a proposal for a church. I have reviewed the staff memo, HGM 1.1, as well as the attached exhibits, which are numbered through HGM 1.15. Those are all admitted. There was a public comment which came in, I think just yesterday. I think it was from Ms. LaKelt?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So that's admitted, HGH 1.1. And then there were a couple questions on the septic well setback that was documented as being the septic system being 107 feet, I believe, away from the well. And those are in HGH 1.2, HGH 1.3. And those exhibits are all admitted. Who's presenting on this proposal?
That'd be me.
You okay? Ms. Watts, you may proceed when you're ready.
The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-003 on February 1st, 2024. The Tri-Cities Apostolic Lutheran Church is requesting a conditional use permit to operate a church in the Kennewick area of unincorporated Benton County located within the Rural Lands 5-acre district. If granted, this CUP would allow for the construction and operation of an 11,892 square foot church on a 5-acre site. The proposed activities shall have a maximum capacity of 175 attendees and include weekly Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday services at 11 a.m., Wednesday services at 7:30 p.m., and services every third Sunday at 1:30 p.m. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division received public comments opposed to the proposal due to concerns with the following. the impact that increased traffic will have on the county road and private road relating to wear and tear, as well as public safety, the integrity of the rural character of the area, the proximity of the facilities to proposed septic to the well on the adjacent residential property, the noise and dust caused by construction, and the potential impact to property values on the neighborhood. The Planning Division would like to comment that upon receiving concern regarding the proximity of the proposed septic to the existing residential well, the Benton Franklin Health District performed a follow-up site visit to ensure compliance with setback and distance requirements. The Health District confirmed the distance from the proposed septic to the existing well as adequate and meeting the applicable health codes and standards. During the agency review, the following comments were received. The Benton County Public Works Department reviewed the provided intersection study and will not require any improvements to Clodfelter Road. The Benton PUD will require an easement to cover the existing overhead power and other infrastructure along Clodfelter Road. The Benton Franklin Health District requires approval of both the commercial on-site sewage system and the public water supply. With that, planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 22 findings of facts and 13 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report, which include but are not limited to: the proposal must comply with local noise ordinances, the proposed activities shall have a maximum capacity of 175 attendees, activities shall be limited to Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday church service at 11 a.m., Wednesday church service at 11:30 p.m., and church service every third Sunday at 1:30 p.m. There shall be no outdoor activities permitted on site. Any proposed outdoor lighting associated with this CUP shall be directed downward to avoid unnecessary glare on neighboring parcels. A block wall must be constructed as a noise and privacy buffer around the perimeter of the site. The applicant shall pave the portion of the private road leading to the proposed parking lot. The applicant must work with the Benton County GIS and adjacent owners that utilize the unnamed access easement to establish a formal private road name.
Thank you, Ms. Watts. Is the applicant present? Yes. Would you like to step forward and add any additional information to the proposal? Good morning.
Good morning.
If you could state your name for the record.
Kim Michelson.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. So you may proceed whenever you are ready. Any additional information?
I don't okay. Really have anything additional.
Okay, I did have a couple of questions for you then. My understanding, and this is in the proposed conditions, it's two 2.5 acre lots, and those will be consolidated as
correct.
Part of that's correct. And then there will be, I think, a stone wall that will be around the property. I believe that's my understanding.
That's something new to me, so.
Okay, that's in the, did you receive the staff report with the proposed conditions?
I don't remember seeing it.
Okay.
Did you, Travis? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. If you have any, I guess while when I open this up for public comment, maybe take a look, and if there are any questions on any of the conditions, let me know. Just looking to see. Yeah, that's condition six about the block of wall. There was a public comment on proposed lighting, and there is a condition about outdoor lighting that will be directed downward to avoid glare on neighboring properties. Any additional comments on that?
I don't have any problem with that.
Okay.
We can follow that. Okay. And far as the block wall too, that's fine.
Okay, we can so put no that concerns on. With that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, and then there was another comment, and I might ask the planning department about, there was a visibility question in Mr. and Ms. LeKelt's comment. And so I may turn back to Ms. Watts to the planning department on whether there's anything additional on that that question. I didn't know if you had, the comment said about, we talked about lowering the berm. So I don't know if you had anything to add on that
No.
at this point. Okay, All right. Those were my questions for right now. Then.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further from the applicant before we turn to public comment? Okay. So it looks like there are a few individuals in the hearing room. I trust some of you at least would like to comment on this proposal. We can either call you or did you wish to go from the sign-up sheet or should I just have you step forward? There aren't too many, so either way is fine.
Yeah, either way. And okay. I did want to note, Mr. Mickelson, I did go ahead and send that to you last Friday, but I'm going to forward that staff packet to you again now.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So whoever would like to proceed first may just step up to the podium. Looks like there is potentially three people who may testify. So, okay. All right. Good morning. If you could state morning. Your name for the record.
Vadim Kanko.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under a penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Can you spell your name for me?
V as Victor, A as an apple, T as David, Y as yellow, M as Mary, last name Kanko, K as Kilo, and O as Oscar, N as Nancy, K, O.
Can you do that one more time?
K as Kilo, O as an Oscar, N as Nancy, K as Kilo, O as an Oscar.
Okay. Great, thank you. And do we have an address on the sign-up sheet?
We do.
108-902, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, 108-902 East Rubicon Prairie, Southeast.
East?
East Rubicon Prairie, Southeast.
Okay. Okay, and we do that so we can forward the department okay. can forward the decision to you. So.
Okay.
First of all,
I wanted to thank you for letting me speak on my behalf. And so this location, my property is right on the corner of Rubicon and Prairie, and Rubicon and a cloth filter. And I purchased this property when it was vacant. I came there, I fell in love with the view, with the freedom up there, being away from the city and within the city, you know, like it's really close to the city. So, and I was the builder on my property, building that property, and wanted to see, you know, first, why is there so everyone so unequal to different people? Because when I was building the property, it was still considered as a cloth filter, and it's right on the corner of cloth filter and East Rubicon. So I applied to have a permit off of a cloth filter, and the road department said that I cannot have the access from off of the cloth filter. Because they said that it would cause a lot of, because going down the hill on the cloth filter right by the rock quarry, there's on both sides of the road, it's blocking the view. So especially on the turn, it's blocking the view. So they said it would cause a lot of traffic disturbance. And so they said to avoid accidents, they didn't let me to have an access from the cloth filter, even though my address was from the cloth filter. And my property is right on the cloth filter. That's not number one concern. They
so
didn't let me.
Just to clarify, is your access from Rubicon then?
Right now, off of the Rubicon.
Okay.
So this is the first concern. Why are they so unfair to me and different to them? And their property is like right behind, like right in front of my property. And it's blocking there on both sides. There's a house that's blocking and the big wall of dirt. And on the other side, there's a hill with like a steep cliff that's blocking the view as well from the traffic. So it's going to cause a lot of accidents. And even without the church, there's already been a couple accidents. And they even took down our mailboxes because there's like poor visibility up there. That's number one. Second thing is, it's going to cause a lot of traffic. Traffic, that's number one. Second, a lot of noise. I purchased a property up there. I wanted to have freedom. I wanted to have a family. I want to have kids. Now I won't have that. That's number two. Number three, the value of the houses. Number four, it's going to ruin road conditions and all of that stuff. A lot of noise, a lot of dust and everything. I'm just against it. I apologize. I'm a Christian myself. I go to church. It's a good thing that they're doing, they're trying to build the church. I'm for it, but not in this area.
Thank you, Mr. Conko.
Thank you.
All right. I think there are two other individuals who may wish to testify.
Good My name's Dusty Nguyen.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. And if you could spell your name for me.
Yeah, D-U-S-T-Y. Last name Nguyen, W-Y-N-N.
Okay, all right. And we have an address for Mr. Nguyen?
We do.
Okay, all right. I think you were the one who had the question on the septic setback.
Yeah.
So I do have some emails on that are in the record.
So. Thank you. I've seen you out there quite a bit. So
you may proceed when you're ready.
Yeah. So my property is borders the church. And so I'm the closest property. It's nice to meet you finally. I knocked on your door. So it was good to see you. I moved from Medford, Oregon to my house on Clodfelter about 8 months ago. The property I bought was from Anthony St. Martin. And the property was not listed. It was a pocket listing. And it was very clear with Anthony that he would only sell the house based on the price that he had set. And due to the nature of me having to move here for work, I was under a very, very, very tight timeline because of the nature of what I do to move to the Tri-Cities area because of a merger our companies had had. And so because of that and just ultimately wanting to relocate my family into a home and not a rental and not have to move again, I ultimately looked at the house and knew that I was overpaying for the home, but it was worth doing that considering the location. It's a beautiful home, and ultimately it fit the criteria of what we were looking for, the type of home we were looking for if I was going to relocate my family to Tri-Cities. Shortly after I'd moved into the home, I went and introduced myself to all my neighbors, and I met my neighbor who lives on the easement road that I live on, and his name is Brian Hill. I first want to just let the record state that he has a beautiful family, and they are very lovely people. But within about 30 seconds of my first conversation with Brian, he said, "I hope you're aware that Anthony ruined the plan by selling you the home." And I said, "What plan is that?" And he said, "Well, I agreed to sell, and I have this if the record wants it, but on the assessor's website, you can see that Brian Hill sold that property to Anthony St. Martin. And based on the conversation, to my understanding, they go to church together." And he said that, "I only agreed to sell Anthony that property because he was supposed to live there for a long time, and he kind of agreed that he wouldn't get in the way of the church being built." And the second I heard that, my heart dropped, because if I would have known that conversation, I would have known that the church was planning on being built, I would have never bought the house that I currently live in. And not because only that the church is being built, because I oppose that for the reasons that I'm going to state, but now I'm having to throw myself in between a potential ruined relationship with my neighbor, and by making a public comment today, it's fair to say that the neighbor that plowed my driveway this winter because I didn't have a tractor and I didn't realize the snow that we got here, and ultimately probably his desire, because I know that he attends that church. And so now I have to put myself in a very awkward situation where I'm not going to be able to have a relationship with the neighbor, because my very comments will probably tarnish that relationship completely. On top of that, I already overpaid for my house. My value of my home is going to continue to be diminished. And now I would sell my home, but I would have to disclose where they would find out that the church is being built, and that will inhibit my ability to sell the home as well. So now I am stuck in my opinion, probably an overpriced home that is now going to continue to be devalued. I'm ruining the relationship with my very neighbor because of my opposition of the church. And it just puts me in a terrible situation, and ultimately it's led to a lose-lose situation. And if Anthony would have just disclosed, you know, kind of the handshake agreement they had about the church, I would not have to be here today. I did pull up the assessor's website. To my understanding, though it is not public, I believe the church bought that piece of property from my neighbor as well. I cannot confirm that by the records, but based on the conversation I had with Brian Hill, I believe he did sell that portion of the property to the church as well. But I cannot confirm that and let the record state that, just based on the conversation we had. So moving forward now, as far as the reason for my opposition is, to my neighbor's point, and ultimately I've spoken to every single one of my neighbors, 100% of my neighbors oppose this. The only people that want this church are the people that attend this church, and the majority of them do not live in our neighborhood. And so now we're sitting here saying you've got enough public comment to say nobody wants the church here because of home values and views, yet we're still at the point that we're considering approving this. And at what point do the people of the county that live in the area actually have a voice saying we don't want the church here? To the next point, Clodfelter. There has been deaths on Clodfelter. It is an extremely loud road. Cars go extremely fast on the road. And multiple times this winter, during the rain, then warm, and then cold, we were not able to leave our house because the entire Clodfelter Road was covered in ice. It is extremely dangerous. And that turn has such lack of visibility that cars pulling in and pulling out, mark my words, people will die in car accidents if you bring this church. It is a matter of time. It is a very dangerous road. People drive very, very fast. It already gets too much traffic, and this will only add to the traffic that it's going to have. Next, in regards to the pull-in, I am not in support that they use the easement road as the entrance to the church. The reason being is, and this could be submitted to the record, I've taken a picture. I don't know if I do it at the end or if I do this now.
Yeah, go ahead and once you've concluded with your your testimony, then yes, give it to the clerk and we'll admit it. But actually, and let me, what if you could just briefly describe the document so I know what's coming
up. So I have three pictures that I took on my property. I'm going to reference the second picture. To my understanding, the easement shows that that there's a turnaround spot on the easement road. I have in the record, you'll see that there actually is no turnaround point on the easement road. And so in the event that somebody comes to the church and they miss the entrance, they'll be using my driveway to turn around. It happens all of the time. My kids are 6, 5, and 1, and they play on my driveway, and they also use the dirt road to ride their bikes. My wife won't let my kids play outside the same way. They just won't. And there is no way of turning around. I would propose that the entrance to the church be directly off of Clodfelter, but by proposing that, I put the members of the church in danger of pulling out on Clodfelter and getting hit. And so, in my opinion, wherever you put the entrance is going to jeopardize the safety of people coming to the church. Second, the septic system, where it is being proposed, the property sits roughly 4 feet above my property. In the event of the septic system overflowing, it will flow into my property. That's just a fact. On top of that, over time, I do worry about the contamination of my well, even though it meets the requirements of setbacks and distance from the well. And it would be very, 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 very expensive to have to dig a new well. We go about 500 feet down just to access water from there. Lastly, though I proposed in my proposal that if this church gets built, they put up a retaining wall, now what it's going to do is wreck the views that we obviously bought the house for, which is a huge problem. And also, I would be curious what the proposed requirement of the height of the wall is. I am concerned about my kids' safety. A church is a good place. It's a good gathering, but it will bring new people into the neighborhood that will now be able to see my property. All of my neighbors have young kids. They all play outside, and it's just further exposing our kids to safety. We moved to the county, to my neighbor's point, to have rural living close to the city. This is a residential neighborhood, and we are setting a dangerous precedent as the county to say, let's allow a church here. Well, what's going to be next? And over time, we're going to erode the very reason why all these people moved out to the county. They did not move out there to have it be commercialized. Nobody opposes houses being built, but commercial properties and these dwellings that they're approving over time will erode the county, and it will continue to devalue the homes. And we just need to be aware of that. I just... I'm just asking that we don't set the precedents that we're setting by allowing it to be built here, okay? Let me make sure that I have everything.
Quick clarification. So I wasn't clear from your comment on, it sounds like you're ambivalent about the wall, or?
I hate it either way.
Okay, so, because sometimes there are different ways of dealing with kind of sight and noise, whether it's fencing or a wall or vegetation. That's why I asked.
I want the wall for the privacy of my kids and the privacy of my home. And then by building the wall, it's going to ruin the views. And ultimately, it's going to make my now rural home feel like it's in a box. And so by building the wall, it'll accomplish one thing. It'll ruin something else. And by not building it, it'll ruin something and establish. And well, ultimately, the church is going to ruin the view anyway. And so I guess my question for everybody is that if everybody that lives around it is opposed, why are we even considering it? I'm sitting here scratching my head, and I'm saying the very people that don't want it are the ones that live in the neighborhood, and there has been enough public comment that I would just be so surprised that this is approved. And because of the value of the homes that and ultimately because of the value that it's going to drive down on my home, I am letting everybody be aware I am prepared to fight this to the very end. And that's the commitment I've made to my family and to my neighbors, that I'm blessed professionally that I have the ability to fight this, and I will. And everyone just needs to be prepared that I will do everything that I can to prevent this from happening. And I think that my neighbors will feel the very same way.
Thank you, Mr. Nguyen. And I'm not going to go kind of back and forth unless you have a procedural question. So we
wanted to add to this comments.
Let me get through all of the public comment first. So we may have, given there's a limited number of folks, we'll have a little bit of extra.
Just a couple more.
Just had to proceed a certain way on this. Thank you for your comments, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Nguyen. If you can, you had the additional photographs, if you could provide those. The clerk, and then she will PDF those to me.
Thank you. I will enter this into the record as HEH 1.4 for an exhibit.
Thank you. All right. Okay, it looks like there's not anyone else. We'll come back to you in the hearing room other than those who've already spoken who would like to testify. Is there anyone online who would like to testify on this proposal?
We do have a phone number that popped up. Phone number ending in 25. Did you wish to make any public comment? Your microphone is off.
Was on mute, sorry.
That would be you, yes. Do you have any public comment?
No.
No.
Okay.
All right. Let the record reflect there's not anyone else to provide comment. I'm not going to have a bunch of back and forth because it can get a little unruly sometimes. But since we've only had the two of you comment, if you'd like to step back up to provide additional, as long as it's only a couple minutes, then that is fine. So, Mr. Conko, I swore you in earlier. You made it a oath, but you may proceed.
Okay. Wanted to just say what he said is true, because this winter I pulled out. I had to use my pickup truck. Because the neighbors that live down the street from me, during the wintertime, even though the road was plowed, I still had to get my pickup truck and pull them out because it's going, and when it's going back on the cloud filter right by the stop. Apparently, they're going to put the stop sign there as well on his street, which is right in front of me, where the church is. It's just a street right next to mine. They're going to put a stop sign there for sure. It's going up. When people are stopping, right there, you pretty much, if there's snow, you have to continue driving without stopping. If you see traffic going down the hill in cloud filter, you're going to have to just stop all the way halfway because you're not going to make it. You're going to stop right there, and you're going to have everyone back down the street. That's number one thing. Second thing is, like he mentioned, this was a rural, not a commercial property. Rural residential. Why are they changing this? After we purchased the property, I didn't have no comments or any agreements from my previous owners saying that there's going to be a church built. He had that, or he might have had it. They're saying that. I don't know if it's in papers, but when I purchased my property, there was no single comment about it. It's a rural residential, and I would like that to be like that. I don't want no big buildings, no commercial buildings, and none of those activities happening there every single day, which disturbs my peace. I want my freedom. I want my peace. And I want my future kids to have to be able to be outside while I'm watching. And so no one's going to get hurt. And with the accidents, there's numerous of accidents, especially right in front of that entrance where my mailboxes are. You can pull up the report from the police department and you see it. It's right in that turn because people can't see when they're going down from Cloudfelter. It's blocking up both sides. It's going to cause a lot of accidents. It just, and like you said, everyone's against it. You guys have the letters. Why did we get all the way to this point?
Thank you, Mr. Conco. So did the applicant, was there anything that you wanted to add in response to public comment? There have been a few questions on safety and aesthetics that were raised with comment. Was there anything that you all wanted to add? And Mr. Mickelson, you remain under oath.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A couple of things, and I've driven that road. I have a dump truck. I haul gravel out of the gravel pit. At least when I've been there, there's not an issue with traffic. The traffic don't become an issue till you get down to Ridgeline. Then you got a problem. Far as home values, we hear that, well, it's going to lower our home values. Do we have any evidence of that? Or is that just they're saying, well, I don't want it. And I understand everybody, when a conditional use permit is applied for, everybody says, not in my neighborhood. Put it somewhere else. Well, those neighbors are going to say the same thing, not in my neighborhood. This church property, I don't know how long we have owned it, 8 to 10 years?
2017
we bought it. Okay. I know Mr. Wynn's house was not built when we purchased the property. They're coming in after we bought this. We bought this in the name of the church to build the church. Something that I suppose most don't know, we had a church on Court Street in Pasco, and an arson came in and lit it on fire last July. And so you might say it put a fire under us too. Move ahead with our new church, which we have been planning for many years. Most of these.
So so you'd been planning the new church for a while, but because of the arson situation, it made it kind of more urgent.
Correct.
Issue. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah. We've been planning this church for a lot of years, and most of these people have come in, and to put the blame on us because someone didn't do their due diligence when they bought their property, that's not on us. You know, it was bought under the name of the church. You can go down under the tax records. It is owned by the Tri-Cities Apostolic Lutheran Church, and maybe it wouldn't say the intended purpose of the land, but it would give you an idea. We had a traffic study done. I don't see that being an issue. There's things that could be put in place if Mr. Wynn is concerned about people turning around in his driveway. I believe we have two entrances. If you miss the first one, you can make the second one. Sign could be put up, no turnaround. I know Brian Hill, he is actually the chairman of our congregation, and he would be fine if people drove down to his house and turned around down there. I don't know. Was there anything else? I guess that's all I have.
Thank you. You know, one follow-up question. There was an earlier comment about dark sky lighting. So would the any lighting that's outside of your, I know you deflect it so it's on the site, but for the most part, would it be turned off at night, or what would be kind of the protocol on that? And there might be some for safety, and especially, I guess, for evening service, right? That's on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So you would need lighting for that. But I didn't know if you had any additional comment on.
I would just say that it could be minimized. Obviously, around the building, you want some light. Mm-hmm. But the parking lot don't need to be lit up every night.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. I think on this one, I am going to keep the record open, and that's for any additional comment, and then from either the applicant or from citizens or, of course, from the planning department. I think I may keep it open through just a week, so through Friday next week. There is a question, I think, on the block wall. It sound from comment, it sounded like there's concerns. It solves one problem, but potentially creates some others. So I didn't know. So comment that on the block wall, and if there's anything additional on the lighting. I think I may have enough on the lighting to kind of understand that. But if there's anything additional on the wall or on lighting from either the planning department or from the public, that would be helpful for me. I should note there was some comments about the public being opposed. So under the legal framework that I operate under, if the public is opposed to something, that's not something I can consider. So it's not kind of a popularity contest, if you will. It's now within the opposition, there are concerns which are raised, which are valid, right? There are lighting concerns, there are safety concerns. Those types of concerns I'm required to look at. So I have to look at compatibility. I have to look at the adequacy of infrastructure. There's five separate conditional use permit criteria that I have to consider. And so the evidence is not based upon whether you want a proposal or you don't want a proposal. It has to be tied to the actual impacts of the proposal and are they addressed under the CUP criteria. So for those of you that will be submitting additional comment, I would urge you to focus on those criteria and the compatibility of the use. There was a traffic study which was done that was noted by the applicant. I did take a look at that. And if anyone has questions and wanted a copy of that, the planning department would have a copy of the traffic study that was prepared. And I guess that I do, there's one, in terms of safety, if there's anything additional, I know there was a comment here on the Lecault comment on the visibility. So I don't know if there's anything additional and if the traffic engineer, if they had anything additional on the concerns which were raised today and in that comment, that might be helpful. So I think that's open. So like I said, I'll keep the record open for a week. So through Friday and you'll don't.
The 24th.
24th, thank you. So through that 24th, yes, the other comment.
Just a question. So who decides who changed the zoning code? Because it was a rural residential, and I think it's up to the neighbors to decide whether they want to switch it and allow it to be conditional or the commercial. Who decides that?
So there was a question on kind of the zoning, just from the audience, to how that works. So I do not make zoning code decisions, and the public doesn't make zoning decisions. That's a legislative decision. So the Board of County Commissioners makes the legislative decision on what the zoning is for a particular property, and also what types of uses are either allowed outright or conditionally allowed. The church is a conditionally allowed use, so it would require a conditional use permit. If these are just procedural questions, it's fine, but I'm not going to go into any sort of public comment. If you could step up the podium so we could capture your question.
So he's saying when they purchased the property, it was under church name right away. Wanted to add, when I purchased my property, it was under my company's name as well, because I have a trucking business, and mostly we do.
And Mr. Papa, this farming. Is getting into more substantive.
But why are you accepting a comment from one person but not from the other person, especially when we live there? We just don't drive through there. And when he commented that he hauls gravel through there, especially when trucks are loaded with gravel going down the hill, it's impossible to stop them. I have a trucking business. I drive trucks myself. You cannot stop them.
Thank you. Mr. Conklin,
you accept one comment, but you don't accept a second comment. I lived there. It was a rural residential, not a commercial.
Mr. Conklin, I need to ask you to sit down. Okay. This is substantive comment. I do have to follow. Understood.
I want to know how people know to react to it.
That's,
and if they're okay with it, well,
and that,
tell us what kind of a church is going to be.
As I noted earlier, the record is being kept open. So if there are additional comments that anyone wants to provide, that is the forum for doing so. Yes, you can provide that, and please provide your comments to the planning department.
I'll make sure you be equal and fair to each other.
Yeah.
I have a procedural question.
Yes, and if you could step forward to the microphone, just because we have to keep this all on the record, and if you could state your name. Yeah. And if it's just a question, I don't
know. Yeah, it's a procedural question. So I want to understand kind of the next steps. You know, I spoke with the county, and so I want to understand. It's open for a week. What happens next until they're ultimately awarded the permit? Because at this point, as far as, you know, I just want to understand the process and when it's completely closed, because that means I'm just going to have to, I need to understand the process I can understand what I need to be doing up to this point.
Yes, understood. And that's an excellent question. And actually, thank you for bringing that to my attention. So as I noted, I'm keeping the record open for a week. So through close of business on Friday next week on May 24th. Thank you. And the comments can be submitted in writing or via email. And then a decision is out from me within 10 business days of that, of the close of the record. And then the hearing examiner makes the final decision for the county on a permit of this nature, on this conditional use permit. And then there is an appeal opportunity to Superior Court. So that would be kind of the next step beyond this. So that's the basis structure. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you all for your comments and input today. As noted, we'll be keeping the record open. I will review everything that comes in, and then a decision will be out within 10 business days from the close of the record. Please make sure, so you can receive a copy of the decision, that you your address, and I believe I confirmed that when the two of you had testified, that your address is on file, so the county can mail you a copy of the decision, but confirm that your address is accurately stated on the sign-in sheet. And I think that's it. So, I'm sorry, procedural question from the applicant. Yes, and if you could just state your name, I believe you had not testified earlier, so.
Hi, Travis Matson.
Oh, and we're closed for public testimony. You don't need to swear you in, but it sounds like a procedural question you had. And,
yeah, I'm
sorry, it was Travis.
Travis Matson.
Thank you.
I just wanted to state that I was involved when we bought the property there in 2017, actually bought.
So this sounds like not a procedural question, but more substantive comment, and I have to treat everybody fairly. So I can't accept any more substantive comment. But if there's anything you want to clarify, as noted, I did have some outstanding questions, and sound like there's some information you wish to provide. Please provide that to the planning department while the record remains open. Thank you. All right, I think that's it. Thank you all again. We are adjourned.